Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Listen, I've been as critical of the commissioner of baseball as anybody. And I got to say, he got it right. He finally got it right. He shut down everybody. And that, what you want to talk about, I think he probably had a plan. He said, that starts, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to nip that in the bud right away. Somebody goes after the Astros, and it's obvious. We're going to give them a big suspension. And you know what's not going to happen the rest of the year? That.
What happened, John?
Well, Joe Kelly got 8 games. And now I'm reading a story. Which is worse, beaning or cheating? You know, because and it came out after yesterday. So all the Astros who cheated to win a championship didn't get any suspensions. But Joe Kelly, who didn't even hit anybody, gets 8 games.
Show a picture with Dickie Thon and his face mangled and then say, which is worse, beaning or cheating? And show his career stats before and after he was hit in the face and all that. Then ask that same dumbass whoever wrote that. Which is worse? This desire, it's just never... I'm just going to have to stop focusing on it. Because the desire for the Astros, if somebody can just behead all the Astros like they did in Game of Thrones and with Ned Stark. I mean, that's all. People only want they want the most brutal pound of flesh they can possibly get. And that's really about it.
It's so stupid. It is so stupid.
People were so upset on Twitter. Dell weighed in on this too. You know, because here's what we have. We have people who try to start trending topics. And so they write the same phrase over and over, and then other people write the exact same phrase over and over.
So Joe Kelly.
And so it was, So Joe Kelly. So it will trend, and then people jump on the trending topic so they can be seen, and they can say, look at me, look how good a person I am, and look at me, give me attention, give me my likes and retweets before I melt. And
then hopefully I can pick up 3 more followers.
Because then I can get followers, and I can feel like I'm more relevant in my life. Like, well, but you don't need followers to be relevant. Followers doesn't make you relevant. Having somebody retweet and like you doesn't make you relevant. Yes, it does. It's the new currency. It's the currency of Twitter.
Like, well, you can't eat up just because you have, 1,400 followers. You don't get points at the grocery store.
I'd like to thank my, sometimes you'll ever, I'd like to thank my 5,000th follower. This is a special moment for me. What's special about it? Yeah, you're right. What's the bonus? What was your bonus structure for your Twitter followers? Like, well, how much did you make on that? What? Did you see who retweeted me one time? Cardi B retweeted something I said. Like, oh, that's neat. And I was on the Joe Kelly tweets. Did you ever, like, I'm the one that had 700 likes on the joke. So Joe Kelly, did you see me? Did you see some of my stuff? I put it in the, on my banner, on my Twitter page. Oh, you were on the So Joe Kelly hashtag. That's amazing. That's amazing. So people were on there showing how mad they were that the Astros aren't going to get bludgeoned with fastballs to the face and be mangled and borderline decapitated. They were so upset on Twitter. And you were right. 8 games, as soon as I heard that, everything I thought changed. Like,
it all changed.
There was some scuttlebutt that the Astros might have a little get back.
Oh, no, they were going to have a get back. I know somebody that was at a player's house yesterday, and I said, ask him, is there going to be any retaliation? He said, oh, yeah, we are pissed.
Before
Joe Kelly went down. And then Joe Kelly went down, and it just shut everything down. Now, no pitcher, unless you want to leave and you don't want to play. Listen, I'm hearing too that there are guys that are, and this is not Verlander, but there are guys that it's not nearly as much fun for everybody right now. There's no hanging out in the dugout, in the locker room after the game. You can't even shower. They don't even want you showering there. You go home. You just go.
Don't even shower?
You don't even shower there. They want you to go home and shower at home. Just no hanging out. Everybody social, in the locker room, they're separating everybody and everything. And he goes, there's no hanging out anymore. There's no hanging with the guys. He said it's not nearly as much fun. And, if you've got some money, you're like, nah. Or if you play a game and you get hurt, you're going to get paid your whole season. So the rumor is...
Oh, my God.
The rumor is that there are guys that are out there going, I'm not feeling all that great. You know what? I tried to go here. I can't go. And this is not Verlander. It's not Verlander. But here's the thing is that, and this was talked about. I talked about this with somebody else. You know, he said, you know, why does Verlander even have to play? I mean, it's not the same. He is, you know, there is a risk involved. But he's toward the end of his career, and he's got a shot to win a title. So, I you know what? He's a competitor and all of that. But, I mean, is he going to risk his elbow the rest of this season when I don't know that there is much of a chance anymore with this bullpen. When you look at what the guys are up against everybody else with this rotation and this bullpen, you know, I think that there's a lot of people that are thinking, even in this organization, that, well, this ain't going to be, I don't know that this is the year now. I don't know that this is going to happen now. We'll see. I mean, if McCullers and Greinke step up and Verlander's able to come back, but this could be a throwaway year. They picked up a pitcher from the Orioles. You know, he's not a big name. When we were talking yesterday about whether or not they pick up, I'm talking about a top of the line rotation guy. They picked up a guy for a player to be named later.
That's what I was expecting. Yeah. I was expecting a 30-something. It was exactly what I was expecting. Hector Velasquez is exactly a 30-something who doesn't cost you an arm and a leg. That was, to me, they had to do something like that, and they did it early on. I mean, the Astros obviously know, all right, Fernando Rodney, get Velasquez. They can't mess around. Well,
they know they've got six guys that made their Major League debut this year. This is the first time since 1920, I think they said, that they've had five straight games with someone making their Major League debut. The first time since 1920 that's happened.
That's incredible.
That's unbelievable. So anyway, the thought is, you know what? It's not as much fun. I don't even know if I want to play this year. I don't know if I want to risk it for my family.
Are there a bunch of players who are hurt right now?
Huh? There are a bunch of guys that are hurt right now.
I mean, Kershaw, but he's on a team that, like, why is he any different?
Oh, no. Yeah. No. Well, I'm not pointing out anybody.
I'm trying to think.
Well, no, there are a bunch of guys in the league that are shut down right now or not playing or not, you know, hustling back or whatever, because it's not nearly as good. It's not nearly as fun. I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but that's the thought is that, you know, this ain't a bad year to, I don't feel that great. You know what? And I tried to go. I get my money. I'm only getting a third anyway of my money.
You know, and we got lots to talk about with the Astros, so we'll jump back on them. But there's something to be said now. We're starting to find out. And this was not expected, but the opt-outs in the NFL are starting to mount. And I think by the time we had our first college opt-out yesterday, where it was a very public Twitter, Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech is opting out. He had his dad and his brother by his side. It was almost looked like it was an announcement ceremony. He did an announcement that he was opting out, which is a little strange to have a kind of a ceremony with clothes on and all this stuff. But like, you know, like Virginia Tech stuff on. But this is going to be. It's going to turn out that basketball is going to have the fewest opt-outs, I think.
Well, because people haven't had a positive test since July 20th.
Well, and they also didn't have to play for very long. But the NFL, everyone who thought this will be gone in 2 months, okay, that's not going to be the case. Well, this will be gone. Well, football is not going to be affected. We'll be back to normal by fall. That not only is that not going to be the case, the list of opt-outs include guys like Eddie Goldman, who's a good a good defensive back. You've got guys like star defensive lineman, star Lotulelei.
Yeah,
solid defensive
Marcus Cannon.
Lineman. Yesterday, Damian Williams, a starting running back the incumbent running back
in the Super
for the
Bowl.
Chiefs. Well, I can tell you this: your new rookie of the year, I don't know about front runner.
That's what I said yesterday.
I don't know about front runner, but he's way up there now.
Yeah, he's got a real shot.
He's way up there. Is going to be Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yep.
The starting guard for the Kansas City Chiefs. These are Super Bowl winners. He is also
Marcus Cannon, Patrick Chung, Dante Hightower, every Patriot. I mean,
Marcus Goodwin from Marquise, the Eagles. Yeah. I mean, Marquise Goodwin, former track guy, former Longhorn, and Marquise Goodwin was
a big important, it was supposed to be a big important part of the San Francisco 49ers offense, but with, he was believed to be a guy who could really help push the ball down the field for the Eagles as well. But, you know, they go out and get Jalen Reagor, a speed guy. Mm-hmm. So maybe Goodwin's like, you know what?
I don't need this.
It's in my best interest. Nate Solder, remember the guy that everyone wanted the Texans to get? He's gone.
Mm-hmm.
He opted out. Devin Funchess for the Packers.
Yeah, and I was wrong yesterday, Del. I misread it. James Conner is not opting out. I read he was opting out. I missed the not. James Conner, who battled cancer, beat cancer.
Yeah,
says no. I'm playing. I'll be there.
The Texans had. Do you know who the Texans have had opt out?
Yeah, Vanderdose.
Yeah, not that anyone would know.
No,
I would know him because he came.
No,
out
but that's just that's a body though. On that
yeah, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't. Anthony McKinney, Titans tackle, and then Michael Pierce, D-lineman. But that's only in a Washington football team. And you know what's, and I wondered if this would be the case. D-line, O-line. These are the ones opting out here.
Well, the heavier guys.
O-guard, yeah. Tight end. O-line. Let's see, safety, linebacker, wide receiver, D-line, O-line. It's the guys who are in close proximity the entire game. Yeah. I think a lot of those guys who are heavier, who maybe have some kind of, you know, health issues or concerns, and they're in the trenches every play, that's where you're going to see the most opt-outs.
Mm-hmm.
We're already seeing it with D-line, and we're going to start seeing more and more O-line. We're going to see more. I will predict
those guys should all have the shield all the way down their face mask.
I'm going to predict that we will see three times the amount of opt-outs we have now, at minimum three times the amount, because we're still at the back end of July. By the time it rolls around, and you'll have injuries, like you mentioned.
Right.
This is just, when you look at this and you think, man, this vaccine stuff better really work well. There are positive results to build on, but it can't get here soon enough.
Nope. It's 7:12 ESPN 97.5. All right, we'll talk about the game, the marathon. Holy crap, they're playing long games.
Could you believe how long that
was? Well, it was a 1-1 game, and it's going into the seventh
inning.
Did
you know how long it was?
And it's already 2.5 hours old. And I'm like, what the hell?
Do you know
it's a 1-1 game? Why is this taking so long?
That was like approaching game 5 of the World Series length.
Yeah, right.
And how is that possible? There weren't all the crazy pitching changes. There wasn't the crazy back and forth with squad.
No.
How did this happen?
I don't know. It happened the night before too.
Four hours and 44.
You know how long it was? Oh, it was a 4-hour game the night before.
That was four.
Yeah,
it was crazy. 4:44 yesterday. Damn near 5 hours yesterday.
Unbelievable how long these games are taking.
Lot.
I was thinking
so
that this
much.
Morning. I don't know. Why is this taking so long? Why are Astros games taking so long? Well, because I honestly looked up. We're through six innings and it's 2.5 hours old. Like, why? Why is this taking so long?
I can't put a finger on it. I have no idea why it's taking that long.
7:13 And how about getting some hits? How about stringing some hits together, George Springer?
Whoa.
Altuve? Bregman? How about stringing some hits together? Oh, I know why. Don't have that anymore? I'm out of order. I'm out of order right now. Damn it. Get some damn hits. Can't hit. Trey's older brother, younger brother, with the skinny younger brother.
That is terrifying how much he looks like Trey.
It is unbelievable. 7:13.
He is a scary looking guy. That's what all the wildlings, what I imagine it looks like in the books that Del read that I would never read. I just watch the shows.
What do you mean that I read? I never read all the Wild, whatever it's called, you just said. I never read that book.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
All the Game of Thrones books.
Wildlings is what you're talking
about. I'm talking about Wildlings.
Okay.
That's what a wildling, I assume, really looks like. Not like, oh, here's a wildling. Oh, this wildling's kind of hot, Jon Snow. The wildlings look like that. The nasty redheads. The ones like that pitcher who is like, he was a scary one. Trey is a handsome man, obviously.
Well. All right, time to talk right now about Chastain Ford. Look, these are my peeps over at Chastain Ford. Love them. And here's what they're doing. It is unbelievable that you got 84 months and 72 months of interest-free payments. So what that means is you're going to be able to spread out your payments so your monthly payments are lower. And can it be any better? And, oh, by the way, you don't have to make any payments for 6 months in a lot of cases. You don't have to put anything down in a lot of cases. So you, at this time where, okay, we're short on money, look at the economy, all of these things, it can't be a better time to buy. And well, do they have any new vehicles? Yes, they're loaded with new vehicles. They've still got the 2000. And oh, by the way, the 2019 F-150s, beautiful, wonderful. There's not everything about it. And you want to get a car that's been out there for a while. To all the kinks and everything else are worked out. Guess what? This is a great time to buy a brand new 2019 because you can get it for 84 months. You can shop online. You can shop at home. You can do it. You can get a virtual tour. You can you find out. And online, you can do everything. They won't try to upsell you. They want to get you in the car that you want at the price that you have to have it at. And that's what they do all the time. Love doing business with the Chastang people. You will too. You, my friend, will become part of the Chastang family. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Or you can shop online at ChastangFord.com. I feel for
Joe Kelly?
George Springer right now. He doesn't look good at the plate. He's got to be really. He's hitting 0.48 on base, 200, 190 slugging.
Bad at bats.
It's bad. It's bad right now, and I feel bad for him because he's probably pressing. He's like, this is my one. This is my shot to get my contract. He's still in arbitration. This is his last year of arbitration. Now, they paid him. They paid him nicely. He's been a World Series MVP deserves, you know, to be paid. And what he has done for the organization, he deserves to be paid. My sources tell me that he has won. Now, he's got the same agent as Brantley. And, you know, we're talking about. We've been talking about Brantley and whether or not you do that, what you do. I would try to tie up Brantley for a couple of years. If he'll do just a 2-year deal, I'd pay him, he's making.
I'd be willing to pay him 3 years.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it really depends on, to me, once you do a deal with George, so me and Rock were, Steve Rockford, me and Rock were talking about Zay, what are the Astros going to do? Zay, what's Granato saying about all this?
Well, saying that George thought he was going to have a contract in the spring.
Well, this is my question of the Mookie Betts thing. I don't, I'm sorry, but I can't care what Mookie Betts did. I'm sorry that they gave him a stupid deal.
Yeah.
A 12-year guaranteed deal is so stupid.
Well, you can't do, obviously, with George, you can't. He's 31 years old.
But I feel like six at 100 and.
Or he'll be 30.
Five at 130 feels reasonable.
You'll have him until
26 million
until he's 36 years old. But here's the thing, he's pressing right now. I don't know whether or not. Again, they thought that they were going to be able to work out a deal in the spring. That's what they thought. They thought they were going to get this done, and George was going to be an Astro lifer, and this would be his big deal with the organization. They've done nicely by him in giving him, not going to arbitration, settling with him, saying, here, you deserve this. They gave him $25 million over a couple of years. That was nice. It was, but that's about to go on right for him, as he should be, or he should have been paid like that. I mean, I'm not going to worry about George Springer's money when he's making $12 million a year. That's, he's going to get paid too. But in a pandemic with all of the, who knows if there's how many fans there's going to be next year and all this stuff. And he's really struggling at the plate. And he's 31, going to be 31 years old. He's got to be pressing, saying, this was my chance to make that big money that I don't never have to worry about it. Their kids never have to worry about it again. And there's the possibility that it's not going to happen for him.
Well, six games.
No, it's six games. No. But he is pressing. But again, he wants to be an Astro despite the fact that they screwed him over at the start of his career wouldn't bring him up.
But they've done right since
then. They have done right by him since then. He loves it. He wants to be an Astro. He thought he was going to get the contract. Now they're dragging their feet on a contract here with him. And he's probably pressing some. He's probably going, what the hell? And, oh, by the way, he did have some awful feelings for the organization before when they did drag their feet bringing him up. And now they're dragging their feet on a contract with him. So, You know, he I don't know where his head's at. All I know is he doesn't look good at the plate, and that's going to exacerbate the situation. That only gets worse.
I mean, it's still so early, and Georgie's been in, he's had slumps before. I think he'll be back. I think he's going to be fine. The contract, George has proven himself. To me, his contract is set. Somebody in the market has a number on George. There's going to be multiple teams who want George Springer to have a market. The question is, how do the Astros value him? Because if you wanted to give him, like, is George automatically a $30 million player? Is that what we're saying now?
No, I don't think so. No. No. I mean, not in this. Again, not with hells no. Again, he's older, too. He's an older player. He's past 30 now. So he's an older player that I don't. And here's another thing is, you know, the thought is that the Astros were cheating up right up until they got caught this offseason.
That's a thought by who?
Fans? That's a thought by a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you think and just teams? Like a steroid guy, you know what? Oh, look at the numbers he put up with steroids. How is he going to be without steroids? Hey, we're asking that same thing about Marwin Gonzalez. He hasn't been the same ever since he, you know what? Since the George, trash can banging.
George has.
Yeah. No, George. Well, but the thought was that maybe but they were the still cheating is, last year.
But the thought wasn't by Major League Baseball.
No, not in the report. But I don't. Do you believe the report?
You think the Astros are still cheating?
No. Now? No.
No. Last year.
Last year. I don't know. I don't have any idea. I do know that Alex Cora. I read a report that said Alex Cora wasn't cheating. And you know what? That's a flipping lie. Okay. So I'm not. I don't know everything in the report. I mean, listen. They said Altuve was wearing a buzzer. All that crap that was going on. All of that stuff. And people certainly believe it. But if that's in the back of general managers' minds, well, look at him now. I see Marwin Gonzalez. He's not nearly as good as he was when he in 2017 when there was trash can banging going on. So maybe he was helped by it. Like a steroid guy. And listen, how many guys have we seen? They were great on steroids. They get caught with the steroids. Sean Merriman. Was Sean Merriman ever the same guy that he was?
Yeah, but George, I mean, you can literally go look at George pre-2017. If you think George Springer is just a product of all cheating, then you're a dumbass.
No. I mean,
his length of success pre and post-17 is extensive.
Obviously. However, it could play into as a factor for these guys. But listen, whatever the case may be, now he's pressing. He's pressing right now. And hopefully he gets over all of these things, all of it, and starts free swinging like he does, and gets back to being George Springer. But if not, dude is leaving a lot of money on the table. There's a lot of money on the table, and it's not all his doing. There's not as many sponsors. There's not as many. You know, baseball just doesn't. Not everybody is the Dodgers throwing 12-year deals at Mookie Betts.
No, I hope the Astros get a reasonable deal with him, and I hope they can keep as many of their core as possible. I'm not George Springer's agent. I hope the Astros get a team-friendly deal. Sorry if that makes me a bad person that I want the Astros to keep their core together.
No,
sorry.
Absolutely. You know, I'm so that's why the Astros are holding, hold, wait. Maybe we can get a better deal with them.
I don't think it has anything to do with what they think of George the player. George the player has proven himself, period. It's not his fault they stalled bringing him up for so long because that was the Astros' way for so long. And the, you know, the service time manipulation. George has been a player in the postseason. George is the heartbeat of this team, frankly. George Springer is an important player. George can't get Mookie Betts money, obviously, and he can't get a Mookie Betts length contract. He's got to take a deal that makes sense for the Astros. Now, you know, what that means is going to be determined by Jim Crane, but I think you're getting to the point where you're either going to have to choose. I guess we're back to this point where you may end up having to choose between Carlos Correa or George Springer, or Carlos Correa and Springer and Brantley, or maybe Carlos Correa and Brantley and, you know, another player. For me, Brantley, because he's a great hitter, like a great shooter in basketball, it doesn't really go away. He doesn't have a big complicated swing. He's got good bat speed. He's quiet through the zone. Like, everything about him says he's going to be able to hit for three more years.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel bad about giving him a 3-year deal. That wouldn't concern me. George is going to get more money though. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, here's okay. And going back, he's had a 2-year deal for 25, and this one's 21. This one is 21.
He had George,
George did. He had a 2-year deal for 25, and now he's got this to the last year of his arbitration for 21. So George, he's making 21 already. So what's the raise that you're going to give him? I was thinking he's a between a 22 and 25 million dollar player.
Well, see, I think you're going to have to. I think it starts at 26 million.
Really?
That's why I came with 130 million because 5 at 26 is 130 million. I don't think that's an outrageous ask.
No.
For what George Springer has done, I think it's more. I mean, I don't think it's the. I think you're right. I think the value on a George Springer is about 20. Realistically, there is a value in his. I think there's a value in what he brings to a team in terms of his attitude. He's just such a great teammate. There is value in that. You can't deny the Astros team mentality and how much fun they have and stuff. George Springer's been a big part of that.
Yep.
I'm going to be sad if George Springer leaves, more so than Carlos Correa. Carlos has been the guy, you know, he has all the talent in the world and potential in the world. He's hitting well right now. He's great defensive shortstop. But George has just had the big brass ones. He's come up, you know, such an awful first game of the World Series. And after that, he comes up like a champ.
Mm-hmm.
Like a champ. And that's he ends up being the MVP of the World Series. That's George Springer. He's the guy, more so than Altuve, even though Altuve was really the first spark that lit the big fire that was the youth movement of the Astros. George Springer was one we knew about, we heard about. This was like, man, when are they going to have... I did a show with Charlie Polillo, and every day Charlie would annihilate the Astros for not bringing up George Springer. It's like, well, day 400 of George Springer being left in the minor leagues for no apparent reason. And he would kill the Astros every single day about George Springer. So when George finally got up, it was just like, oh, my God. Oh, young talent. When in the meantime, Jose Altuve is like, hey, I'm hitting 360. Mm-hmm. 200 hits every year.
Why you got to imitate his voice like that?
Because it's just like, hey, guys.
What? Why are you going to imitate his voice like that?
Hey.
730 ESPN 97.5. So we will continue Astros talk. By the way, you know, we'll break down why Abraham Toro is not bunting. Okay, when we come back.
Well, let's break down why bunting's not allowed in baseball
anymore. I don't know. What
because
the,
I'm not really what sure the, what exactly is happening.
You got Abraham Toro at
wait,
the
plate.
If
they score one run, the Astros win?
Yeah.
And there's a man on second?
Yeah. And first and second,
the analytics tells me. Shh. Somebody put that guy in a closet. Put that guy in a bathroom. Johnny Coffee Cake.
All right, when we come back.
And are we going
to...
So you're not going to... We're not going to give any... We're not going to talk Christian Javier at all?
Oh, yeah, we will.
Yeah. It's 7:30, and we haven't made that man the mayor of the city yet. We haven't given him the key to the city.
We don't have those keys. 7:31, ESPN 97.5. You know who wants the keys to your car? John Clay Wolf. That's right. John Clay Wolf wants the keys to your car, and he'll give you money for it. He will. I was just talking about in the last part, Chastang Ford. Now, they'll buy your car, too. John Clay Wolf says, I'll buy your car, too. Now, John Clay Wolf promises that he will give you the most for your car. Because if he can't beat CarMax's offer, he's going to give you $100. If you're looking for the best way to sell that automobile right now, you go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. And John Clay Wolf will buy it. He will give you more. And now, even if you're going to go to the dealership and sell that car, you're armed with what you know the value of that car is. So when you get to the dealership and they lowball you, you go, well, I already got an offer for this. Okay, here it is, right? Here's a bona fide offer. So we'll just do it. And oh, by the way, if they don't want to match that, then John Clay Wolf says, well, that's all right. You can trade it in. And I will do the deal through the dealership while you buy your new car, so all the tax stuff is taken care of. He will do that for you, but you got to go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Way to screw that up, Del. Nice job, Del. On this date in 1959, the Giants' Willie McCovey made his major league debut, going 4-for-4 with two RBI and a 7-2 win, 7-2 win over the Phillies. I'm telling you, your Don is our this generation's Willie McCovey. They're almost identical to me. Almost identical. What? You know, he's eating peanut butter. He's eating peanut butter toast dough. 1 minute
breaks. Whatever. Well, did Willie McCovey miss the first six games of his second season? Some unknown issue?
I don't know. How much time Willie McCovey missed?
How about Yordan gets on the field?
Well,
how about we do that?
Man, he could have used Yordan last night,
yeah,
bro.
How about we get on the field?
How about just score some flipping runs? Good Lord. Abraham Toro bunt. Why can't Abraham Toro bunt with first and second and nobody out? After you scored the run to tie the game to in extra innings, you got first and second and nobody out. And Abraham, it's not like you've got Bregman or Brantley or Yordan or it's Abraham Toro. Abraham Toro, I'm certain, has bunted in his life. There are a lot of guys, Lanceburg, I don't remember the last time I bunted. I don't bunt. Why would you ask me to bunt? Right?
Yeah.
I see that.
Yeah.
But Abraham Toro, I'm sure he can bunt.
You have one job to get a run in extra innings. If one run wins a game, move them over and just try to get the slow roller or the fly out and the game's over. I don't understand this. I get, as we watch a bunt in Korean baseball.
Oh, well.
I know. They still represent the small ball, but.
They've got bunt hitting contests, not home run hitting contests.
I don't think that's Korean baseball that does that, but yeah.
The Japanese?
I think so, yeah. But here's the thing. Nope. Don't do it. But here's the thing. I mean, Dusty's an old school guy. He played old school baseball. You would think if there's anybody who goes, I don't care about your stupid numbers, lay the bunt down. You got a bunt. And baseball people, I'm sure, will say, why would you give up a free out where a base hit can win the game? Have three guys get a base hit. Now, what I would say is, yeah, but you know what? If you get the man over to third, then it doesn't take a lot. It just takes a ground ball in a certain spot of the infield.
Now, that said, yes. Well, depending on the runner at third.
Yeah. Well, the runner at third is going to be somebody who's got some speed, typically.
Well, I mean, the Dodgers brought in a pinch runner. The Astros didn't. They didn't bring in a pinch runner.
They had Georgie.
Well, Georgie was at his the plate. Georgie yeah. came up.
George, for whatever reason, you're not going to pinch run George. Just can't steal.
You're not going to pinch run George.
No.
But Miles Straw, you. I think you still had that option of Miles Straw at that time.
At one point.
At that time, I'm pretty sure he was still on the bench. Anyway,
but the Astros aren't a slow team.
He was not on the bench. He started the game.
Oh wait, yeah, that's right. The Astros aren't a slow team.
No, they're not a slow team.
I mean, they're not.
You still had Stubbs on the bench. I think you could have still used Stubbs. Anyway, the fact of the matter, Stubbs is pinch ran the night before. He's fast.
What are you talking about, John? It was George and Bregman and Altuve making last outs all game long. Anyway,
yeah.
fast guys, but
listen, Straw was up next, and that's all you got it. Now Betts has a rifle, so you got to hit it a little bit further. But a fly ball is all it takes when you got a runner on third and one out. That's all it takes is a fly ball. Why not bunt? Why not bunt in that situation? I just don't get it. Okay. I just don't understand.
All right, so now let's talk about Christian Javier. So Christian Javier coming into the game, here's his major league start, right? His premier major league start. He is the Astros minor league pitcher of the year, and one of the two big names in their minor league system, along with Paredes, who are supposed to be factors this year. Well, they're both on a roster. Paredes, we've seen three times, has some good stuff, just has to change levels a little bit, and had a terrible outing the last time out, which is game before this one, another loss against Dodgers. Christian Javier comes in, and I mean, he didn't look rattled at all. Christian Javier is throwing strikes. He's got a backdoor slider that is eating the Dodgers up. It's diving off the tape. He's got a couple different sliders. He's got one that is, one might be a slurve. I don't know. But he's got the one slider that, you know, that just kind of bites hard at the end. And he's got the other that drops at the end. He is working back door. He's working on the, you know, throwing it over the middle of the plate and then biting down and in on left-hand hitters. He can locate whenever he wants to. He's got a solid fastball. Man, I was really impressed with Christian Javier yesterday for facing that lineup the first time out and the amount of confidence that he showed and the amount of control, composure, his stuff was good. That was really a breath of fresh air after all these bullpen games. That was a legitimate start. Christian Javier, not only gave you a legitimate start, he gave you the best start of any Astros pitcher up to this point. I mean, really, including Verlander, who gave up a couple of, you know, solo bombs. Christian Javier was really on it and struck out the side in the first inning like, whoa, this kid has got something going on. So that was a really, really positive turn of events to see that kind of performance from a starting pitcher for the Astros and a young starting pitcher where you just don't see that anymore.
No, he looked great. He was it was fantastic. Fantastic, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, just cleaning it up a little bit. Actually, Toro pinch hit for Stubbs. Stubbs could have bunted. I know Stubbs has bunted in his life. He's Stubbs. He's bunted. That you can't tell me that. Well, you got a Stubbs at the plate. You certainly don't want to bunt him. No, you could have kept Toro on the bench, bunted Stubbs. Up comes Straw, hits a or put in Toro for Straw and hit a fly ball. That's all. And this game is over. Or the next inning, when you had it again, you start off the inning, Kyle Tucker can bunt, or whatever. Bunt him along. Let's go. Gosh, dog it. That was a game you could have won. They're 3-3, and oh well. That's fine. They're 3-3. That's no big deal.
Nah, but you got to win now.
You got to win. Listen, they're still on top of the division and blah, blah, blah. And it's early. We're 1/10 through the season. We're 1/10 through this season. Unless, you know, a bunch of guys get coronavirus and you don't play a whole 60-game season.
We're at least 1/10.
At least 1/10 through the season. Right. So, and I don't know. I don't know. Bringing in Devenski against Seattle, and then
I think Dusty.
Why did he leave? Cy Snead gave up a run in the inning before. Why bring him out for another inning? You got Abreu in the bullpen. Start Abreu that inning. Why? And I thought Javier, after he was done with five, I thought, you know what? The kid gave you five. Man, that's three more than I thought. Good Lord, let him go home with a good feeling. So he brings him out for another inning, and he gets the guy on. Now, they got out of the inning because Blake Taylor is looking really – 25-year-old.
Blake's been pretty
good. Been really good. But I thought, you know what? And A.J. did this a lot, too. Is I want the guy to feel good about that outing. He pitched five innings. That's plenty of pitches for him. He's not used to throwing that much. So let's let him feel good, and let's get him out of there before. Cy Snead had given up a run before. Why are you bringing him out for a third inning? Why are you bringing Cy Snead out for a third inning? Let Abreu throw there.
Yeah,
you got 17 guys in a bullpen. It's not like you got to save a bullpen.
No.
And you got a day off today. So why would you bring Cy Snead out for a third inning? I don't know. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff, Dusty. Bunt. Don't overwork guys. I don't know. 743 ESPN 97.5. Time to talk a little. Hey, Roger's going to join us today or tomorrow, right?
We're waiting here.
Yeah.
So we don't know, but we assume Roger's going to join us.
Yeah.
We may have Roger Clemens on because he's part of the Constellation Energy League right now, which is out there happening in Sugar Land, where you have a chance to actually go to a game and go watch some baseball. And it's never been a better time than right now. You've got four teams in this league, managers like Pete Incaviglia, Roger Clemens, Dave Island, you've got Roger's son, Kobe is part of it. Greg Swindell is one of the managers. And the great thing about this league, John, is that these are A and double A players, 13 former first rounders. And not only that, but a lot of guys have actually garnered major league experience.
Right. Well, tonight they got dollar hot dogs, discounted White Claw hard seltzer, $2 beers and sodas. Oh, hey, come on. Let's get out to the ballpark. It's Sugarland versus Eastern. Tomorrow night, Texas, Roger Clemens' team takes on the Skeeters. They got Wands and Wizards online. This is for you, Dell. Wands and Wizards online jersey auction.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. You mentioned Balrog. What are you talking about?
You're the one. Okay. You're the one. With all your fantasy goofy stuff. It's not real life like Lord of the Rings. So, and then you got all kinds of giveaways on Saturday and fireworks tomorrow night as well. All at SugarlandSkeeters.com. Tickets start at just $9. SugarlandSkeeters.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, Dale, how you feel about the ACC today?
Yeah, if you missed it, they released not a time and date schedule, but who will be playing whose schedule. And Notre Dame will be in a full member for a year at least. They will be allowed to play in the ACC title game. They also will share their revenue from their NBC deal. So it's a 10-game ACC schedule and a plus one out of conference, as long as you can play that conference game, that out of conference game in the state that you reside in. So, for example, Florida State, that's easy. That'll play in state. Like North Carolina would have to find someone in state, maybe App State or something, if they want to do that. I think they did that last year. I think App State's in North Carolina. So I like it. I like it. It'll be interesting. Miami schedule, they added Clemson on the road, which isn't even the toughest thing. If you look at them, like Florida State added Notre Dame on the road. Florida State probably had the biggest jump from what their schedule was to what it is now. I'm like it because they're moving towards, hey, maybe we will play football this year. Now things can certainly change in an instant. That's what it feels like. But at least there's movement to say football is on the horizon, and we'll see what we go from here. Mm-hmm. Where we go from here. So if you, also the ACC title game can be moved from the December 12th to the 19th. I think each team has two bye weeks, so if they have to cancel a game or have to move a game, that's allowed. So yeah, I imagine the other conferences will do something similar. We'll see what the SEC does. What it does do is it removes those Peach Bowl, not the Peach Bowl, but the Chick-fil-A games out. The like Florida State had West Virginia on the schedule out. I think Auburn had UNC on the schedule in Atlanta. That's out. So yeah, those big
that'd
games,
have been a good one too.
So those big games that the Peach Bowl has scheduled or the Chick-fil-A Bowl has scheduled are gone now.
All non-conference game opponents selected by the respective school must be played in the home state of the ACC institution,
yeah,
which means, and all non-conference opponents must meet the medical protocol. So the thought is Notre Dame will play Navy more than likely, but Navy would have to travel to Notre Dame then.
And if you remember, initially that game was supposed to be in Ireland.
Yeah.
And then they moved it to Annapolis to give Navy a home game. And now if they do it, it has to.
It's going to have to go to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
If they play that game.
Yes.
Is that Notre Dame's number one? I thought USC was their number one rival.
Oh, the Pac-12's not playing.
No, I know that. But somebody said somebody. One of the stories said Notre Dame will play its rival, Navy.
Well, they've played every year since whenever, but I wouldn't consider them rivals. It's more hammer versus nail. Yeah. I think Navy's beaten them once in the last,
right,
I don't know, 40 years, whatever it's been.
Right. So Notre Dame plays Clemson at Notre Dame.
Yes, that's Clemson went from not playing really anyone to getting maybe a top 10 program on the road. And if you look at their schedule beforehand, they probably didn't have a team that was comparable in talent to them. Not that Notre Dame is, but the talent level of their schedule rises, because as bad as Miami has been, they still recruit pretty well. That game's in Death Valley. We'll see if there are fans there or not. But the level of talent they face has increased. Now, they should win those games either way, clearly. But Clemson's schedule got tougher as far as the talent they'll face, because they were playing the ACC Atlantic, and that conference this year, that side of the division this year is going to be pretty soft, just like the entire conference, really.
I've got a bet with a buddy that I told him. He said the SEC and Big 12 will both play complete schedules.
All 10 or all? What do you
all
mean?
All 12.
So the Big they're going to play out of conference.
Okay. Yes. All 12 games. I said no.
The SEC has already lost the ACC as an opponent, unless they want to go on the road and play them.
Like, well, no, you can play. It's in the home state.
Yeah, well, I know Clemson and South Carolina will play, and Florida, Florida State.
So Georgia, will play. Georgia Tech could play each other. Would,
but that's 11. Where's the 12th game coming from?
Right. Well, but Georgia can play it whoever they want.
Yeah, but yeah, true. They can play whoever they want. I wonder, but they'll lose some marquee matchups. Certainly, we already went through the Chick-fil-A game is going to lose out.
Georgia Southern.
Yeah, you'll probably have to play a paid cupcake game, which is they're probably fine with anyway. But they can play Georgia Southern, certainly. I mean, Georgia Southern would probably...
Still think there's going to be people in the stands?
Well, Texas, the president announced yesterday 25%. University of Texas. The president announced we will have 25%.
I mean, I think that's probably reasonable, to be honest with you. But how they decide the 25%, what the protocol is for getting in the building without... I mean... I've never seen a game there where you, because everything is herded like cattle, like most college stadiums. But it's such a cattle herd into these gates. Now it's different when there's only 25%, but 25% is still going to be, you know, in the neighborhood of what, close to 25,000.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. how much are they up to now? Are they?
They're over 100.
Are they over 100?
Yeah.
25,000 seems like a lot of people.
Well, you're going to have to time the entries. Like, all right, yeah. If you have this ticket number or by name, you...
It's like a boarding pass.
Yeah, you show up at this time.
When do you... Yeah, but here's the thing. You can't just be hanging around until it's your time to get in the gate. You're right. You're going to have to be like, you can't be anywhere around here for until you have to come in to the stadium. And by the way, in September, it's blazing hot. Okay, here's what we're going to do. You're going to come in at 5 o'clock because we've got to, you know, we've got to spread these out. So you'll be in the stadium in the sun baking for an extra hour and a half longer than you might have. That's just the reality of it if you want to go. And then who gets to go? Is it lottery? I don't know. It's for them to figure out. And I'm not going.
Do they ban tailgating?
My wife's like, why don't you just get a press pass and blah, blah, blah. And maybe we can get tickets. Get tickets. These tickets for any game are going to be the supply side is so low that the demand is going to be off chart. I would assume maybe you're not even allowed to move your tickets. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. But the supply side is going to be so low that the demand on any type of secondary market for ticket sales is going to be off the charts. You're going to have tickets going for over $1,000 for certain games.
Because it's
ridiculous.
Yeah. So buy it for your wife. She just had her birthday.
Great. She got a bag. She's good.
She what?
She got a travel bag. I got. She's good. She's in good shape. We're good. We're good.
Get her $1,000.
You buy your wife $1,000 tickets.
Get her $1,000 tickets.
Get Wendy thousands of dollars in LSU tickets. And then when you're there, you get stuck because you're quarantined.
You don't know what those national championship tickets cost.
No, I've got a pretty good idea.
Stupid.
I've got
stupid.
A pretty good idea.
But it was fun. It sure was fun. It sure was a fun night. Sure was a fun night in New Orleans. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5. I don't believe that the SEC or the Big 12 is going to play. I think they'll play a plus one. I think they'll get a plus one.
Yeah, well, Oklahoma has already got theirs in on the schedule. August 29th against
Missouri State.
That'll be their plus one.
Unless... Bobby Petrino's debut. How's it going to taste, Bobby?
Probably not very good.
No. I'm going to tell you, that's just a... Why is Oklahoma doing that?
Well, it was already on the schedule.
I know, but why are you doing that? Just don't do that to them.
Well, Missouri State's like, please do it to us. We want the money.
I'm not sure Missouri State's going to say that. Going to say, well, Bobby please do it to us.
Well, hey... Some of us are play for pay,
and Bobby
Missouri State's play
choice.
For pay. Yeah, Bobby wasn't here when the schedule wasn't there when the schedule was made.
Well, Bobby had no choice about. But he had to take Missouri State. That's where Bobby is in his career. He had to go to Missouri State, and I don't know what their situation. I know this: if they're inheriting it, that quarterback that was left over, they're in some trouble against Oklahoma. I don't care if they get Trevor Lawrence in for that game. They're in trouble against Oklahoma.
Trevor Lawrence, I'm opting out.
I'm going. I'm transferring what? To Missouri State.
To do what? Get killed?
No, I'm not. We're not doing that. So Notre Dame for once. How about that, Del? Your favorite team, Notre Dame, in your conference.
That's fine. I mean, the only obviously the up people, Miami people, are upset because it's the natural historic thing. Let's play them and whatever. Didn't happen. We get Clemson, which is a smack and over the head as far as reality is concerned.
It's at Clemson.
Yeah, it's fine. Who knows if it's. Is it Death Valley with 10,000 fans? Who knows? We don't even know the circumstances. But it'll be fun. It's fun to think of a non-division. Almost not everyone plays everyone, but Notre Dame's in a conference for the first time ever. They need to put the ACC patch on their jersey. Do it. They shouldn't be allowed not to have. They should be forced to put the ACC patch on their jersey for a year.
Ain't doing that.
You're in the conference. You get to play in the ACC title game. You put the patch on the jersey.
You said that they wouldn't be able. You didn't want them playing.
Patch on.
I don't even care. Some Miami fans were pissed, but they're sharing the revenue.
From the teat of the ACC, you put the patch on Notre Dame.
You forced to share revenue. You put the patch on.
You wear that patch.
If you get the automatic berth into the New York Six, if you win the title, you put the patch on.
You represent Georgia Tech and Virginia.
They put the patch on if they get to the.
No, you put the patch on during the season. You're an ACC team right now.
Who wants that patch on?
They do, because they decided to sign up for it.
There's only the Pac-12 that's probably a worse patch to have on.
Whatever. Hey, Notre Dame, you can either play 6 games or you can play 10 plus 1. Put the damn patch on. No one else was going to make a schedule for you like that.
Why are you patch watching?
Because if they're in the conference for a year, you put the patch on. That's all.
Why are you patch watching?
That's only fair. And you know what? At games, with the first down marker, should have ACC. There should be ACC stuff all over their stadium.
How about they're sharing their NBC contract?
Yeah, because they needed games.
Yeah.
I had a situation just like what Dell's talking about. Brian Caswell, who is, you know, chef here locally and has big ties to Texas A&M. His dad, Big Mike, played at Texas A&M. When Johnny and A&M were the hot ticket and they were playing LSU, it was a really big deal. He invited me to the game. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm definitely going to go see that. LSU versus Johnny at Kyle Field. So we went up there. We drove up the night before. He was catering some big event on this great big ranch where they had bought all these really nice, I don't know, bottom rental campers where people could like stay in their campers beside their little small houses they had out there. And I'm like, holy crap, this is unbelievable. So me and Caswell have our own little camper thing that's really nice. He goes, hey, man, but don't forget, tomorrow when we go to the game, you got to wear an Aggie jersey. You can't just go neutral. You got to go. And I'm like, okay, that's fine, but don't take any pictures. Because if this gets back to my wife, I got problems. He goes, no, man, you're good. You're good. But you got to wear an Aggie jersey. I said, okay, that's fine. It's a 12-man jersey. 12-man jersey, before you know it, he's taking a picture, posting on social media, like my wife. Oh, no.
Well, if I want a free ticket, guess what you got
to
do?
That's what I'm saying. I had to put the patch on.
Look at Lance.
That's what Dell's saying,
Look at less than zero
though.
Lance.
Did I want to go?
Less than zero Lance.
Is that your new name? No, I had to put the patch on. Did I want to go see Johnny versus LSU?
I need some tickets, man.
I need that.
Oh, hey. Come on. Now,
I need
you
that
can't
Matt
be
Burt.
Talking, John. Okay.
I've never had to wear.
You never got free tickets?
Oh yeah, but I didn't do it. I didn't do stuff for it like you did.
Wear whatever you wear.
Where do I wear
other teams?
He wears Cleveland
all the time.
I know you wear
my
Cleveland
daughter
Brown
went
stuff.
To Oklahoma State.
University of Houston stuff.
University of Houston stuff because I'm a Cougs fan.
Texas stuff when we were
I'm
a Texas
Cougs fan.
Game.
I never wore
Cleveland
Texas.
Brown stuff.
That's not true.
I wore LSU stuff when LSU played there.
Cleveland Brown stuff.
No, I'm not talking about that. This is Chris Sims. Texas.
Yeah, I didn't wear any Longhorn
against
gear.
Like New Mexico State.
I didn't wear any Longhorn gear. I don't have
you did
Longhorn
this,
gear.
Eyes of Texas.
I did do that.
Oh, that's even worse.
No.
That's even worse.
I didn't wear no crap. Nobody took a picture of me.
You were doing something that was racist.
You know what I did? Then I went Cougs. I put up the middle finger.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
What about your Cleveland Brown gear? You wore that.
I love the Browns.
Oh yeah.
Come on. You got like 1,000.
Well, you know why? Dude gave me all that gear for free.
Well, yeah, because you're up there. You're like, I'll wear it. I don't care.
You're damn right I'll wear it.
Look, it doesn't. Look, we know.
I didn't do stuff like Lance.
I didn't do anything.
Man,
wear a shirt. Hey, you lead the league in hand gestures.
Didn't you say you were in a camper with Brian Cavanaugh?
Yeah, you two were in a camper together.
He goes, Gabriel blows his horn. And he's screaming at people like he's the longest running Longhorn in history. All I'm doing is wearing a shirt.
I don't even know that that's
a... Gabriel blows his horn.
I don't know that. I didn't know that.
As the text there upon you. Yeah, that's the end of the song.
Is it?
And then all I did was wear a shirt to an Aggie
you
game.
Did spend
and
the
then
night.
I just tried to stay low profile. I didn't need my wife seeing that. I don't need that kind of heat.
You did spend a night at Camper.
Yeah, with another man
so we don't know
who
you
gave
did.
You tickets.
To be honest, we don't know what you did. Yeah. But really, wear the patch, Notre Dame. Just wear it. You know you want to.
I wore the patch. They can wear the patch. If you're getting the benefits of a game / entire season, wear the patch. Put the patch on.
Put the patch on.
Put the patch on.
I want to see ACC stuff all over their stadium.
You want Notre Dame to be doing stuff.
Do stuff.
Yeah. You want Notre Dame to do stuff.
You want to be a whore and be in the ACC? You wear the patch.
Yeah. 8 o'clock, ESPN 97.5.
Put the patch on.